If you're anything like me, you'll be making plans for the new year today. And of course, one of the big things that people do every year is they set resolutions. And from what I understand, the top resolutions are always things like lose weight, get or stay fit, save more money, enjoy life more, get organised, spend more time with family, quit smoking, take up a new hobby, read more, get a job, all of this lifestyle stuff. Now, apparently only 1 out of 10 people fulfil their New Year's resolutions, and that of course means that 9 out of 10 fail. But before you give up what you've planned, it's probably worth pointing out that while you may not reach your goal, you might make a lot of beneficial progress. You might not lose 10 kilos, but you might lose 5. You might not stop smoking, but you might cut back. You might not become some bookworm, but you might read a couple of books that you really enjoy. All of this can be really good. But why do people make resolutions? And what is it that stops us being more successful in following through? I want to suggest that all of these resolutions that people have are these small kind of resolutions tying into one big idea. They're the small R resolutions, part of the big R resolution. And that big R resolution is to be, in one way or another, a better person. I'm not for a moment suggesting that losing weight, stopping smoking, getting fit, having more hobbies actually makes you a better person, but I think that's the way many of us feel about it. We make resolutions because we want to be better people, better versions of ourselves. Why do we fail to fulfill resolutions? Well, I think there's lots of practical reasons, like if we have a lack of specificity about what we're going to try and do, or really unrealistic targets, that means we don't reach those little R resolutions. But on the big R side of things, I think the reason we fail is because we also kind of think, I'm pretty good at the moment. We want to be better, but we also kind of just love the way we currently are. So here's me, January 1, see if this resonates with you. I'm going to go for a run every single day this year. And then on January 2, well, not every day, I'll go for a run every second day. And then I forget about it on January 3, and by January 4 I think, you know what, nah, I'm fine the way I am. And so one of the keys for success must be loving and desiring this change more than we currently love where we are. We want to change, so we need to love what we're going to be more than we love where we currently are. And it's important to keep that in mind, I think, as we turn our attention to Jesus and to the Bible. We're here at church to listen to him, to consider what Jesus said. And what is it that Jesus would have us do to be better people? What would his big R resolution be for us? Well, we actually heard Jesus really clearly on this in this conversation with these Pharisees, these experts in the Jewish law. He was asked, of all the commandments that God's given us, what is the most important? And Jesus replied in Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says the big R resolution we need to have is to love God, not just a little bit more, but with every fibre of our being. And this, of course, would be entirely appropriate if we realise that God is the one who made us. You see, if God made us, then by virtue of creating us, he deserves honour and respect. That's what we are made for. And far from this being a cold drudgery, if we realise how much God continues to care and provide for us, we will want to respond to him in this way. And we should realise it's good for us to respond to God like that. God is not asking us to do anything that will not be good for us, or anything that will ultimately be bad for us. It might seem difficult to do, it might seem harsh, but loving God with every fibre of our being is actually very good. Loving God makes us better people because it's precisely what we humans were made for. It's truly good. Now, we all know people who act in this way that is sort of holy and pious, and in reality it's just arrogant and rude and mean. Yeah, they look down their noses at other people. It's like when a young person falls in love and they become so infatuated, so enamoured with this person that they neglect to care for others. They ignore their friends, ignore their family and focus only on this one that they love. And for some people, these religious people, they They love God so much, it's like they don't have any more love for other people. But did you notice how what Jesus says actually excludes that as a possibility? The first and greatest commandment is to love God. Yes, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. This means you can't say you love God and fail to care for the people around you, the people he has made. You can't love God and think of yourself as being better and higher and more holy than others, because that's not actually being loving and holy. You may remember how Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. He was showing the kind of neighbourly love that we need to have. Love is not only for friends, for work colleagues, for fellow citizens, it's for the outcasts. It's for the untrustworthy, it's for the enemies. And when it comes to a genuine increase in our love for God, well then that rising tide of affection lifts all boats. When we truly love God, we'll love others more too. As a quick aside though, I should point out that loving others doesn't always mean affirming them. It doesn't mean making much of them. See, Tracy loves me, but she doesn't love that I get angry and frustrated too easily. Her love means that she will call me out when I act like that, even though I don't like her doing it. Her love for me means that she'll forgive me at those moments, but she'll call me out. She'll be truthful about it. Loving others means being truthful and loving, even when it's difficult, even when people, as a result, may not love you doing it. That's the aside, but here's the big point. The big R resolve we need in life to be better people, the key idea for that is to love God not just a bit more, but entirely. This is what we were made for. This is how we become what we were supposed to be. And though it might be difficult, it's good. Done properly, it makes us more caring and loving to the people around us. Living in proper reference to God means we live better in his world. And if you're a follower of Christ Jesus, your New Year resolution should hinge on this one big idea. And here's a test for your plans about life. From big things to small things, whether it's a New Year resolution or whatever, do you think about what it is that God wants? So as you make plans about your life, do you think, what does God want me to do? How will this increase my love for him? How will this make me serve him better? How will this make me live better in his world with the people around that he has made? Those may be hard questions to answer, but if we're not even asking them, then doesn't that show that we're not loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind and strength? Far from it. If I made plans without any reference to what Tracy or my kids want, if I never consult them, if I never talk to them, wouldn't that show there's a serious problem in my relationship with my family? How is your relationship with God? What could be done to make it better? How could you love God more fully, more completely? That's the big R resolution. Now, how do we start to do it? What are the small R resolutions that will get us to the big R resolution? Well, if you're going to be with us over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these things more in depth. We're going to get quite practical in thinking about living generously, praying, showing hospitality, being encouraging, being forgiving, being involved in God's mission. As we do that, I hope that all of our reflections and thinking will come back to this big idea that we're seeking to love God more and more. But in thinking about this idea particularly, we should turn to that second reading we had from 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's on page 1175 in the Pew Bibles. This is a letter written by Paul, one of Jesus' chosen representatives, to a person who's leading a church. And Paul says this to him in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. See what he's saying? Getting fit, eating better, all of those other lifestyle things, they might be useful, but the godliness that Paul speaks of here, that's the main game. He's speaking about growing more devoted to God with our whole lives, And you think that he might say we need to look deep within ourselves, you know, find our love for God, work hard on growing it, make it as big as possible, grit our teeth and try harder to love God more. But that's not at all what Paul says. Look at what he immediately writes, verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. Growing our love and affection for God won't happen as long as we're looking into ourselves and looking at what we need to do. Increasing our love for God will happen when we watch Him, depend on Him, put our hope in Him. And that's what we should strive and labour and train for. It's not about what's in here. It's about what's in Him. And it's critical we get this right, because as long as we're looking in at ourselves to make ourselves loving and more holy and more godly, we're almost certainly going to end up as this sort of cold, duty-bound, hard-nosed people that have a kind of honour and respect for God, but no real warmth toward Him or anyone else. Or we'll just give up and say, you know what, I can't do it. We'll either despair, or we'll just kind of live with it and we'll say, I'm fine, I'm comfortable where I am. We don't want to be people who act like we need to lift ourselves up, because it will either result in failure, or if we do see progress, we'll just congratulate ourselves, and actually it won't be progress, because there's no love for God that tries to lift itself up above other people. We cannot miss what Paul is saying, what Jesus is saying. We don't love God in order to be saved. We are saved in order to be able to love God. Jesus said that the person who is forgiven much loves much. This morning we have two baptisms. Baptism is about entry into the Christian faith. It's a bath. It's about seeking cleansing and renewal. It's much more also about God promising to wash us and make us clean. It's not a physical washing that we need. It's a spiritual one, a moral washing. And the point is that all of us have failed to love God properly. All of us have failed to love those around us. Not just a little, but a lot. And so in moral terms, we are filthy. And God could have walked out on us in our mess, but He didn't. The Christian message is not do this and be saved. The Christian gospel teaches that God has acted to save us. Jesus did what we couldn't do. On the cross, He took the punishment we deserved so that we could go free. And it's this supreme example of love for God and love for His fellow humans. That's what Jesus does on the cross. Risen from the dead, Jesus pours out His Spirit, so by His death and resurrection we can be clean and then begin to live as clean people. And that's what baptism speaks to. So when we know that God made us and gave us this good world to enjoy, when we know that God loved us and gave Himself for us, then it is natural that we're going to grow in our love for Him too. When God's love is poured out on us, then we can begin to live in love for God and for those around us. And so do you see that Christians, that followers of Jesus, have more reason to make steady progress in being truly better people? I'm not saying we always live up to that. I'm saying that in Jesus, knowing Him, what He has done for us, gives us the example and the energy for change. Looking to Him will make us not love where we are now, but to seek change, to be more like Him. And so loving God is about seeing what He's done for us in Christ Jesus. Here's three practical resolutions that might help you kick off into 2018 loving God more. Number one, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to my Bible this year, and I mean just actually listen. I've got it on my phone as an audio book. And I'm going to listen to the whole Bible this year. I'm going to stick it on when I'm going in the car to Geraldton or out to Mingenew. When I go for a walk or for a run, it's a really easy way to learn more and to remind myself what God has done. So I'm going to listen to the Bible. Second thing, some people find this helpful. You might like to make a list of things that you're thankful to God for. You know, write down every day three things that God has done. If you believe that every good thing that you have comes from Him, then write them down. And then you could spend, say, at the end of the week, 10 minutes praying a prayer of thanks for all of the things that God has done. You'd have 21 things each week to thank God for. That's one. That's two. Number three, make Sunday church and some other small group a priority. Or tell me you want a better time. I don't mind when it is. But set aside one morning a week, one Sunday morning a week, and some other time to gather with other Christians, like-minded people, to learn about God and grow with Him. You know, loving God means spending time with His family, just like it does with anybody else. And sometimes, as you might know if you've got in-laws, they're not people that you would ordinarily spend time with. They may not be people who are your friends, but they're your family. And you get to know them and you love them and you care for them. So make Sunday church attendance and another small group a priority. Maybe have a little journal of things that you're thankful for. Listen to the Bible. That's my three suggestions for how you could kick on to loving God more this year. But whatever you choose to do, however you choose to do it, there's lots of different things you can do. The point is, let's not be satisfied with our current position. Let's desire to make progress and to be better people. We're not fine. And there's always more ways that we can love God and live better in His world. But don't look within. Look to Christ. Look at what He's done for you. And find the power and the pattern, the example and the energy to change. Let me lead us in prayer. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. Lord God, grow our love for You now and throughout 2018. Make us aware of all that You've done for us, so that we might set our hope, our confidence, our trust in You. We ask this for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived for us and died for us and rose again to be our King. Amen.